This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, good morning. Mr. Ault has already spoken to us and helped us understand the relationship between why we as CIU might celebrate International Education Week. Actually, our very existence and our own mission makes us ideally suited to pay attention to the link between education and the Great Commission. After all, CIU is here to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. We are to be educators, and we are educating you, but when we go to the Great Commission, likewise, we see imperatives in the Great Commission that are so similar to the mission of CIU. We are to go. We are to make disciples. Who are we to disciple? All nations. We are to baptize them, the evangelistic role within that commission. And then the job is not finished until we have made disciples of all of these nations, followers of Jesus. And today, this is not really an opportunity just for us to address those in the College of Education, but to really see how the mission of the College of Education is so closely linked to what we hope all of you will leave here equipped to do, and that is to be teachers. See, it's very easy for you to think that out there somewhere is this group right here on campus that call themselves teacher education and are being taught to be teachers. But in reality, if when you leave here, every one of you doesn't think of yourselves as a teacher, and if you haven't become equipped to be a teacher while you're here, then you're likewise not equipped to go into all the world to evangelize, because it's very difficult to separate the evangelism aspect of the Great Commission from the educational aspect of the Great Commission. You can't really do it. You will be teachers. You will do home devotions. You will do Bible studies. You will teach Sunday school. You will mentor. You will disciple. Some of you will teach in public schools, which is our marketplace. Go ye therefore into all the world. Some of you will teach homeschooling classes. You may teach in a missionary school. You may teach in a Christian international school. Or you may be going to places like what we've seen this morning to help the emerging Christian school ministries and educational enterprise worldwide. Because the cutting edge of missions, part of that what God is using today, is the amazing growth of Christian schools around the world. At our conference just a few weeks ago, we heard that 3 million children in Uganda go to Christian schools, but the teachers haven't had training. And we're privileged here to welcome, last year in the summer, 5 nations from Africa. The year before, 7, because this whole continent has got a vision for changing the culture of the nations through teaching the next generation through a biblical worldview, that they might perceive life and culture and their countries differently, that the next generation might truly be culture changers. Actually, education is in all of our DNA codes. You realize that? You know, some of us say, well, I'm a teacher because my mother was a teacher and my dad was a teacher, and I just got teaching in our family. We're all teachers. Well, let me suggest to you that teaching is in your DNA because you were made in the image of God. You are made in the image of one who has been disclosing himself and using the prophets and the patriarchs and the priests and even parents, train them up in the way they should go. God wanted to disclose himself to each generation that the next generation might come to follow and might serve. It was his purpose in giving us this book that we might come to understand who he is and what his plan was and his redemptive story from the first of the book to the end. And he was going to do this by giving us a book. And when you have a book, we have a curriculum. And when you have a curriculum, it's designed to be taught. We have teaching in our nature disclosing, revealing, uncovering the truths of God, because that was in his very nature. He didn't keep his story a secret. He didn't keep his plan a secret. He didn't keep his love for us a secret. And so we then are all designed for teaching. Job understood it. He asked the question and made the statement, God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? God's very nature was that he didn't waste any opportunity to teach. He was always teaching. He used everything to reveal himself and to make himself known. And there was no greater act than to bring to us that incarnational person, Jesus Christ, that we might see and learn from him what we couldn't learn without him. And it's his desire that each of us be an incarnational teacher, that this book will have weight upon us and will have such influence on us that we likewise will be the Word made flesh living in the midst of the next generation. That the next generation might come to know by looking at us, by experiencing us, that seeing us as models and disciplers, that they might come to see what they couldn't come to see as they tried to find the truths in the Word of God. Oh, we can find them, but boy, can we see them when we meet an incarnational teacher. It's important, I think, that we understand the term teaching if we are to see the connection between evangelism and education. Teaching is any effort, verbal or behavioral, aimed at assisting another to understand truth and to live by that truth. Notice that definition as it's given to us here by Norwalk, though. We don't really have teaching happen until we likewise understand and come to the place where we help people live it out, that we live it out. And that we see in the Great Commission, that we are to teach them to what? Obey everything that I have commanded you. One of the distinctives of a Christian teacher and an education that is Christian is we don't stop with a lot of stuff to be known. We don't stop when everybody can color in the right bubbles on the exams. Our job, from a Christian perspective, is not done until there's change in the learner and they've become the curriculum that we're teaching. So teaching, then, involves helping others live out the curriculum. We see this in Ezra. Ezra had set his heart to study the law, let it have its influence first, and then to practice it and teach it to his statutes and teach the ordinances in Israel. The outcome was that Ezra not only knew it, but he would teach it. We also need to know what learning is, education's purpose, ultimately. Why do we do everything that we do? It's so that somebody learns. We can get caught up in all kinds of gimmicks and trends and fads, but the bottom line is somebody learning something? And so we have to realize that learning involves this change, and a wise man was to have little or no gap between what he claimed to know and how he lived or behaved. That's an interesting assessment. We like to assess with standardized tests. We like to see if people know the answers. But from a biblical perspective, we assess by looking at the learner to see if there's been any change in that learner, to see if they're beginning to look like the curriculum or whether they just know the curriculum. We as Christian educators have a much bigger job to do than just stuffing answers through rote memory into people's minds. We've got to have that knowledge, but until it changes us, our job is never done. And that's the difference of our outlook on teaching from the rest of the world, is that we will not stop till there's obedience, until there's conformity with the words. And so, what's the Great Commission's goal? To obey all that I have commanded you. That's ultimately what good teachers do. How can a disciple obey if no one's taught him the statutes? If no one's taught him the principles, if no one's taught him or her the truths. These two hands work together, evangelism and teaching. You know, it's interesting that a few years back when I was leading the education program. We had lots of students come here as freshmen, and by the time they were seniors, we only had a handful left. And we began asking, why aren't you in teacher ed anymore? And their answer was, well, because, you know, you come to CIU and you hear about the whole world and you hear about cross-cultural church planting and you hear about reaching every man, woman, and child. And so our hearts were moved and we changed and became a... And I thought, why is it that we're not understanding the connection of being a teacher and what God is doing in the world today? If we understand teaching, if we understand learning, then we're all being equipped with the possibility that teaching is our means to go. That teaching is our means to fulfill the mission of CIU. That teaching may be what God designed you for as a means to carry out everything that we've been challenged to do here in chapel and in your classes. Not everybody has a design heart for teaching, but everyone will be a teacher. But please don't ever say, well, I'm not going to go to the College of Education and become a teacher because I don't understand what that has to do with the purposes that we're hearing about in going into all the world. May that never be the case. So let's think about, for example, Peter in Acts chapter 2. We see this modeled so perfectly for us there. Shortly after Pentecost, he addresses the people, and he says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to do to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. And then he went on to teach and make clear so that they would understand everything that had been taught. They would understand the Old Testament perspective. They would understand what they had just been through, what they had seen happen, who this Jesus was. They were taught. And therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. That was his concluding statement. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Notice the link, the marriage, so to speak, between evangelism and teaching. How can we respond to what we don't know? How can we do that? And so CIU educates people from a biblical worldview. All education will and does answer life's questions. All schooling all over the world today is answering life's questions. And all of it does it from a philosophical basis. All education is really a religious enterprise. And our calling as Christian educators is to clear out idols. You see, what's really happening by the nature of what schooling is that all schooling is centered on a God. There is no neutrality. There is no such thing as learning apart from something that holds that learning together. It's called the coherence factor. All curriculum is held together by something. And Neil Postman called that something. He said that was a God. All education serves a God. There is nothing neutral. And we, according to Nancy Piercy's statement, we are interpreting our experience in light either of divine revelation or some competing system of thought. Our calling as Christians is to progressively clean out all the idols. Now, let me suggest to you that some of you who have come here for an education based on a biblical worldview, and you're experiencing that for the first time. I know there's some of you who've never had been in a Christian setting for your education before. You're in the process of cleaning out some idols. You have learned a wrong way of thinking. You've learned sets of values that you didn't even realize you had that maybe you never brought to mind before, that it was contrary. You came here having an education centered on something. It may have been you. Your education may have been you, the center of the universe, the center of all things. It's all about me. And we're having to have that idol cleared out to realize it's all about them. What a shift. But you didn't just pick that idea up. You learned that idea through the way that education was delivered, through how you saw it and through how it was viewed. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says this, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So education is going to serve a God. And it's going to teach children to be followers of some way, some belief. Postman said, schools spend most of their time talking about how to do school, when they really should be discussing the question, why are we doing school? Where is it going? What's its purpose? What are we going to leave with? The ultimate purpose or the end of an education is a God. We've made it far less. The central focus that shapes the thinking of a student shapes that student's heart. There is no surer way, Postman said, to bring about an end to schooling than for schooling to have no end. He actually said schools with no right end become places of detention rather than attention. What insight he had. He was a famous columnist with the New York Times who passed away a few years ago. Postman describes what the God in schools will do. Now listen to this. All schools have a God. All schools all over the world today are in session, and they have a God. And this God provides a narrative, an idea, a story. It tells of origins. It envisions a future. It constructs ideals. It prescribes rules of conduct. It provides a source of authority. And above all, it gives a sense of continuity, and it gives a sense of hope. That's what education is supposed to do. All schools are supposed to lead and provide that for students. But the question is, which God will the next generation come to serve, and which God provides the answers to those critical questions? That's why we as Christian educators are so involved in centering education upon the God, the creator of heaven and earth, and his son, Jesus Christ. Education has and does have its share of God's. The American Creed. This country has built education around democracy. I remember studying books in my college training to become a teacher. Education for democracy. It was all about that. Not that that isn't important, but it can become the central focus. Our science becomes the answer to all things. And science has a story. Science is going to have our answers. Science is going to provide the right future. Science is going to solve the world's problems. Maybe it's an economic engine that drives schooling. We've been through so many different phases as teachers in our lifetimes. Schooling set up to provide workers to drive the economic engine. And if we buy into the story of the economic engine, then we go to school and we get an education and we go to college and we'll get the right job and we'll live happily ever after, won't we? Well, ask the recent graduates of the last few years whether the story has failed them or whether it has ended up being true. Is there security there? And then there's the God of technology and the God, the good life and happiness. Right now, happiness. Everybody just wants to be happy. Happiness is very much the focus. If I ask parents today, what do you want for your children? We just want them to be happy. And you know what this God is really called? And please don't misunderstand me, but we heard a lot of it recently. It's called the American dream. Now, there's nothing wrong with that dream, really. But when it becomes the God and the end all of education, we are serving and we are learning under the influence of an idol, because that narrative is not the narrative that God has given us. It will fail us. Perhaps it's capitalism or socialism instead of the living word, Jesus Christ. In a recent ACSI blog, I read this: our children from kindergarten to young adult need a frame of reference to their learning. I strongly believe that the current lack of stability and security in the hearts and minds of our young people is the lack of a reference point to learning. For too long, our educational system has become piecemeal and compartmentalized without a cohesive, driving, unifying force. God provided this in his Son. Lockerbie said this in his book on Christian education. He says, he refers to this unifying force as the cosmic center. And he gives an example of the illustration of how he suffers dizziness when he watches the mesmerizing rotation of a carousel going around and around. So he said then to the carousel operator, "How do you stand to look at this all day?" And the man responded by taking him to where he views things from the center. He said it makes all the difference in one's perspective. Without the center that holds all things together, kids will not build the holistic framework that God himself deemed crucial to our knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Wow. Now, are we seeing that link? Do we understand how education is so critical, but not just teaching and being teachers and providing education, but what is the God that's in the center of that, and what is holding all of that together? We best get it right. And the good news is God has shown us how to get it right. He hasn't left it a mystery. He's taught us how to do this. The question is, are we doing it? John Piper, in a sermon on Psalm 78, said this. He said, "This book is like the sun in the solar system of all other books. This book is the sun in the solar system of all learning. Everything else ultimately revolves around this truth." So we could say this is in the center, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word. You see, how do you, it's about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So how can we bring this all together? International education and the Great Commission. How does this play out internationally? Psalm 78 says, "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done." We are hearing about how God is using education worldwide to bring about that day when everyone will know, and that day when Jesus will return. We're seeing a roundtable just a couple of months ago in South Africa with the leaders of Christian schools from 23 nations on the African continent coming together with one purpose. How can we educate this next generation with the Word of God in the center? I was excited this summer that they're going to begin sending these leaders to an institute in Colorado, and that they've invited CIU and our faculty here to train those leaders, beginning by coming to our summer institute here every July, and then when they are ready for the 102 class instead of 101, they're going to be sent to Colorado, and we are going to be going there as their teachers. You see, this is an integral part. This institution is playing a vital role in education around the world today. When I first went to the Dominican Republic to teach in 1992, there was one school, and we began to teach those teachers how to do schooling Christianly. Today, that school hosts a conference in the Dominican Republic every June with over 600 teachers. The movement has swept across that nation and is changing the next generation. We're seeing in Haiti, I taught in Haiti last summer. Dr. Watson teaches in Haiti. Dr. Lindsay teaches in Haiti. We go there and we're changing the nation. After the earthquake, we understood that something powerful was going to need to happen. Here's our opportunity to clean off the slate and start over again and train these children up in a new way. I taught 57 students in my class, and we've just awarded our first master's degrees. CIU, but the organization doing it, and we're their adjunct professors, basically. We have offered to 57 students. I've never been in a classroom. I was teaching a room full of students that represented, day in and day out, in Haiti, 250,000 students. I love to teach when there's that kind of impact, people. I mean, what I do for a few days and a few hours can impact not 250,000 students. Two graduates from this group are the first time ever in Haiti that the Department of Education, the highest level, has had evangelical believers on the highest level of education in Haiti. You know why they were never there before? They were never educated. The only people serving the Department of Education in that country were coming up through education centered on gods that we don't want to have too much to do with, quite frankly. It's a new day with a new hope and a new vision, and we get to be involved in that. And you could be involved in that. It's a different kind of mindset toward education. These mushrooming numbers in Indonesia, it's amazing what God is doing there through Christian schools. The Great Commission, education centered on Christ. God has privileged us and he wants to use you. And perhaps today he's spoken to you about teaching around the world. What's our goal? That they will put their trust in God, not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. That they would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God and whose spirits were not faithful to him. May God use us to raise up a generation of culture changers with hearts loyal to God, disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. Can we likewise, as educators, put on a new mindset that we will go, as teachers around the world to join in what God is doing in making disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, for how determined you have been throughout the timeline of history to make sure that every man, woman, and child would know. And Father, I just sit in awe with the fact that I've had the privilege of being involved in education, in schooling as a means to fulfill the Great Commission. I thank you for our students here that catch that vision. I thank you for students this morning who may be catching it for the very first time. But Father, that's not really what it's all about. It's about the next generation, the education they're receiving, and the God they will serve. May we be found faithful in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Go out and teach.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.